Hello, and welcome to the Escape Plan Podcast. Whether you have an existing online business or are just starting out, we show you how to plan your escape in 6 easy steps. Ready to learn and implement those simple steps? Here are your hosts, Tim Goodwin and Mark Thompson, to show you how.
Hi guys, and welcome to the Escape Plan Podcast. This week, we're talking about hooks and offers, as requested by Danny. Hi, Danny. So, hello, Tim. How are you, mate? Long time since I spoke to you.
It's been about 5 seconds since I spoke to you last, yeah.
Anything changed? Postman turned up or anything?
Postman didn't turn up. No, not in the interim this one, but no. We're on point this week. We're firing on all cylinders,
yeah.
Getting stuff done. And the question that has been asked by Danny on the Serious Marketers Only, he was wanting us to record a podcast about hooks, offers, testing them, how to find angles for a particular product, idea validation, how we do it, what's the minimum setup, how to go from there, from an idea, if the idea validation is positive, if not conclusive, what do you do, blah, blah, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So basically, Danny wants a complete online MBA in 20 minutes.
So we're going to have a best attack at coming up with hooks, offers, and testing them. So where should we start with this? Gee whiz. I suppose it depends on who your audience is, so, and what your product you're looking at. So say, for example, you've come up with an idea for a product for your pocket of people. Okay.
Yeah.
So you've, you have got a plastic spatula. Okay, you come up.
Actually, I was going to say we could actually use lean greens and follow on from the conversation we had three podcasts ago, where you were talking about the mountain biking stuff, because you had three different hooks on that.
That's very, very true, actually. Yeah, let's do that, because that might actually work out a little easier. Yeah. Okay, so just to prove that we do these podcasts literally on the fly, this is what we're going to talk about instead then.
You think people actually thought we rehearsed these? You are joking. Hey, if you believe that, I've got this bridge for sale.
Dear, anybody want to buy a sofa? I've got a sofa for sale.
can you deliver? I'll buy it if you can deliver.
Dear, right. So
that's our pitch for the end.
Should we get back on point? Hooks, offers, and testing them. So one of the first things that I always look at is, certainly for our Lean Greens products, is, okay, what is everybody else talking about? Because if everybody else is talking about it, it's old hat, it's old news, it's something that... every other greens product on the market is talking about, let's say, for example, alkalizing. And like, greens are great for alkalizing. And I'm like, oh, well, if they're all talking about alkalizing, why should I try and compete? Because if I try and compete with the whole alkalizing storyline, then, you know, I'm just going to, you know, blend into the masses with them and end up being compared on price, rather than, you know, the valid reasons why somebody should buy your product or not. So, you know, we always try and look a little bit left field. So we always look at, say, for example, we'll go into Amazon and I'll go and look at the reviews, the positive reviews, and also the negative reviews for greens drinks are a gold mine of information. And one of the
taste.
That was it. Exactly. Yeah. So, you know, that was the one thing that we picked out very early on, and we knew it anyway, but nobody was really talking about it in their, you know, no other product was talking about it as being a function or a feature of their thing. So we just basically took on the whole taste angle big time. And that became the main hook that we started with Lean Greens. It's a greens drink, but we've made it taste awesome, or we've tried to make it. We've made it taste as neutral as possible, so you can mix it with your smoothies and juices without it spoiling the taste of your juice and smoothie. So that was essentially how we came up with that initial hook, and it's one that stuck. And, you know, other people have taken it on since then. So we're always trying to like think, okay, what else can we talk about? How else can we talk about our product in a different vein to what everybody else is talking about? So we've been talking about juicing, greens juicing. And the reason why we came up with that is that when we looked for keywords, we went and did some keyword research using Google. You can use things like SEMrush. There's Ahrefs. There's all sorts of other tools out there that can do keyword research for you. And one of the keywords that we found that was being used a lot was greens juice. And the problem with greens juice is that, the good thing with greens juice is that there wasn't that much competition. Our competitors weren't using it as much. However, that's the way that people were describing the product. So we start talking about greens juice. What is a greens juice? How does it compare to a green smoothie? You know, how can you make a greens juice? How can you boost a greens juice? So we then start talking about this is how you boost your green juices. So if you're already juicing, if you're already talking about juicing, or if you're already like, you know, juicing your carrots and your spinach and your, you know, broccoli and all that kind of stuff, you're juicing that stuff already, this is what you can do to add to it. You know, and lean greens is the ideal product to add to that. So those are the ways that we come up with different angles, you know, and we talked about a couple of weeks ago that, you know, for the cycling world, for the mountain biking world, you know, my big passion is mountain biking. Now, if I was to do, we did a local event and we were talking about using our product in a different way. We have a particular ingredient in our product that is brilliant for cyclists because it gives them long sustained energy over the course of a day. So whereas this one particular ingredient might be seen as a negative to the purest nutritional therapist person, is actually the perfect product. It's the perfect ingredient for cyclists. And it's actually an ingredient that Chris Froome uses.
Maltodextrin?
There you go, perfect. he uses it every single day for his preparation for big days in the mountains.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's a great ingredient for cyclists. So we're talking to cyclists about that. We're using that as the angle to get to the cyclists. You're getting greens in, so you're getting the natural energy and the nutrients that you need, but you're also getting in the energy that you require for your ride. Yeah. So it's about finding different, you know, Danny's hit it on right on the head. What's the different angles? How do you find the different angles for your product? And you've kind of got to go away from what you would normally talk about, what everybody else is talking about. So, you know, figure out what are the many different ways that your product could potentially be used. And always try and go a little bit left of what everybody else is talking about. Does that make sense, yeah. Mark?
Yeah, it makes absolute perfect sense. I think because obviously you've got a split, your market is split into different types. You've got your main market is female, 25 to 40 or something?
It's about 35 to 45 is our main audience, right. Female. So that's
women. They've probably never sat on a mountain bike in their life.
Exactly.
Right? But you're selling the same product to mountain bikers, but just using a different angle.
Yes.
Exactly same product, different markets.
Yep, that's it. So how do we do that? And how do we test that? And I think that's quite a key part to this as well. And, you know, in the last podcast, we talked about landing pages and testing landing pages. And one of the things that I do on a weekly basis, which is we have different audiences, so different types of people visiting different landing pages based upon how we've actually drawn that particular audience in. So say, for example, our yummy mummies, the sort of 35 to 40 or 5 year old females, you know, they've come to us through, you know, looking at vegetable juicing, they're looking at smoothies and like stuff that they can give to their kids, you know, how can they improve their kids' healthy eating and stuff like that. So we have adverts running on Facebook and on places like, you know, Taboola and particular websites all over the internet that are related to that particular audience, and we're driving them to one specific landing page or a landing page with a split test added onto it. And that's, you know, ultimately that deals with that one audience. The cyclists, we're advertising on cycle websites, we're going to cycling events, we have, you know, we have a specific landing pages specific for that particular audience. So with a language and like copy that's related to that particular audience.
Yeah. I mean, the other thing is Google Analytics, look at your back end, look at your demographic data.
Yeah.
Look at your Facebook demographic data.
Sometimes it's too easy, and we've fallen into this trap. And I kind of give this warning a little bit. We kind of fell into the trap when we first started Lean Greens of assuming that our product would be for personal trainers and people who were going to the gym and stuff like that. What we found about a year after we started was most of the people actually consuming our product were those females 35 to 45 and older. And yeah, they were generally from particular areas within the country, particular towns of a particular demographic that we didn't think was buying our product. So we adapted, and that's when we actually did and this is a great way of kind of, you know, covering something that Danny asks about idea validation and whether you've done it the right way or not. And it's like, we just did a pivot. Well, we decided, okay, so all of our branding and all of our copy and all of that kind of stuff has been talking to personal trainers in young fit people rather than older females, more mature females, more affluent females. And so we changed our branding. We changed the way that the copy read, all of those things. We changed completely across into that new area. So we made that our main focus, and you can kind of get yourself into a bit of a hole with that, where you're only talking to those people. So it is always a good idea to kind of go, okay, that's working. That audience is working. Who else can we sell this to? And can I create a completely different set of landing pages and subsite? And can I tap in and try and test a different marketplace? So that's where the cycling, the mountain biking part came from.
Yeah, I nearly bought a mountain bike yesterday.
Did you?
Yeah, I decided I wouldn't use it. I didn't bother. I'll get an Apple Watch instead. At least I can pretend I'm doing something for fitness.
Right, I'm completely off track now. Dear. So idea validation. Idea validation is an interesting thing because I always look at it from a perspective of minimum viable product. And I think Mark and I have talked about this a little bit before in previous podcasts. I'm fairly sure we have. Yeah. Where, you know, we don't go the whole hog and create a brand new website with a brand new brand and get brand new products created with different labels and all that kind of stuff. All we do is just create a brand new, just one landing page and start driving traffic to it. Kind of like what we were talking about last week. That's all it is. It's saying, okay, well, I've got this, I want to drive this type of traffic to this type of landing page. Let's see if it works or not. Away you go. And I'll normally test, you know, I'll take, because Facebook is easiest on the targeting side of things. So all I'll do is I'll, you know, create an audience. Let's go for the mountain bikers. I'll create an audience of people who are interested in mountain biking. Whoa, shock, horror. That's really difficult. I might then combine it with, I might do narrow the audience slightly by going people who like, say, Santa Cruz or the brand Trek or the brand Specialized, because they tend to be the more premium end of the market for mountain biking. They serve a particular audience. So those are the kind of people that would be most attracted to our product, because it's not the cheapest product in the world. So I've got my audience, and all I do is I create a landing page that is all about mountain biking and how greens could help them. We rocket science, eh? And then you put an offer.
Stop making it so difficult, Tim.
No, it really is that simple. It's not. It really shouldn't be that complicated.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about that a little bit last week. last week, 20 minutes ago. well, I mean, I use the same lead magnet, the same report. I've been using it for like 6 years for different markets. I'm just changing the name and changing a few little bits and pieces on it.
Yep.
And just create a different opt-in form.
Yep.
And you can see if it works. And if it does work, then you can actually then make something even better than the same old stuff you've been putting out for 6 years.
Yep. You don't need to overthink this sort of stuff when it comes to, like, you know, idea validation. You know, just keep the test as simple as possible. You know, the ads that we run, you know, normally I'll start off with literally a couple of pounds a day of traffic to a particular landing page to see whether, you know, I'll be testing different creatives and stuff like that on Facebook to see which thing attracts people the most from that particular audience and blah, blah, blah or not. But ultimately, you know, really it's just a case of once you found a traffic source that is abundant enough and interested enough in your stuff, then away you go. So yeah, it doesn't need to be that complicated. The whole hooks and offers thing, that's the bit where you'll spend the most amount of time, in my opinion, the bit that where you'll go, okay, what different hooks can I create for this? How many different audiences? And, you know, we have, you know, I know people like Andre Chaperon talks about avatars, and you can have more than one avatar for your particular product. So, you know, it's important that you do kind of go away from the norm. You look at different ways of presenting your offer, look at different ways of putting your offer out to different audiences. So, you know, look at it, you know, go left field as much as possible, because you'll find some relatively untapped niches. You know, one of the things that we're looking at the moment is actually whether we can tap into, say, the horse riding market, you know, the equestrian sort of market.
Whether... Oh, yeah, horses like grass, don't they?
Yes, exactly. There you go, Mark. Thank you very much.
I'm glad I could be of help.
So, you know, again, they tend to be more of an affluent audience, depending on the you know, where they're from. What background they're from, but you're also reading. There's a magazine that we kind of pick up every now and again called Scottish Field, and it's all to do with, you know, the equine world, and it's all to do with, like, you know, the outdoors world within Scotland. So whether it's, you know, hunting or farming or, you know, eating out, dining out, high end retreats, that kind of stuff.
And eating pheasants,
yeah.
Or
so,
grouse, or peasants, or whatever.
But again, it's a particular hook or a particular angle or a particular marketplace that might be a better location for us. And again, relatively untapped, because, you know, most people, when they set up a supplement company, the first thing they do is go, oh, we'll just sell it to gyms.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, that's, you know, what everybody else is trying to do. And I don't want to play that game, because it's way too crowded, and there's way too many other other products which are competing on price, and I don't want to play that. You know, I don't want to become the commodity. So, you know, look to different audiences, definitely.
I suppose you've also got the sort of opportunity, the Highland Games type, tossing the caber and that type of those type of people. Once again, perfect sort of target market, probably not getting targeted by very many people.
Exactly.
And as we've been saying for months and months and months, I mean, if you've got a premium price product, okay, mid-ticket upwards, or maybe in your case, £40 upwards or whatever,
yeah,
right, you don't need to get that many people buying on a regular basis to make a big impact.
Yeah.
So it's not like you're selling a $7 product and you need to get 1,000 new people every month.
I can pretty much guarantee if we went to, say, a Highland Games, some kind of Scottish kind of field type event, you know, where there's, you know, outdoorsy folk and, you know, people in tweed jackets and equestrian folk, there will not be another supplement company at that event.
Yeah.
We would be the only people. We would stand out like a sore thumb. which is perfect. You know, we'd be aligned alongside, say, for example, the Melrose Gin Company, or you know, a whiskey distillery, or you know, somewhere which sells, you know, expensive tweed jackets for, you know, £800 a piece, kind of thing, or you know, leather goods for your horse, kind of stuff. It's, you know, you know our product at £40-45 would seem absolutely reasonable, and you know, it wouldn't seem dramatically expensive in the company of all of those other types of products. Our product would look right, and that's really what you got to look for, is kind of like, let's go somewhere else. You know, you know, we keep on getting nagged by Body Power, which is the biggest fitness event in the UK, and they keep on nagging us to go to their event and have a stand on their event. Problem is, there's people like, you know,
Organifi,
Maxi Muscle, and you know, CNP, and you know, all of these other like enormous companies with, you know, really, really deep pockets. And it's like our poxy little stand selling a £45 tub of greens next to Maxi Muscle with their behemoth of a stand with 20 pretty girls on the stand giving away protein powder and selling stuff for, like, you know, rock bottom prices. We're not even going to get a shout in. So it doesn't serve us to go to those type of events. Let's, you know, go somewhere else.
Know your market. That's what it comes down to.
Yep, absolutely.
Oh, not even know your market. Work out somewhere where your market may be and go and test it.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there's plenty of hungry crowds out there that have been massively underserved. I don't know whether that's really answered the question or not, because, you know, when I first thought, oh, let's do this podcast, what's, you know, how to come up with hooks and offers and testing them and all that kind of stuff, I thought we'd be talking about landing pages and, you know, copy and things like that. Nothing to do with that, guys. The hooks and the offers come about because of the audience that you're looking to serve. And that is really the key part to this.
So maybe Danny asked the wrong question.
Well, no, he didn't. No, he didn't. He actually asked the right question, but he may not have got the answer that he was expecting.
Yeah. That's really, really interesting. That's another good thing for a podcast we can do sometime in the future. You know, asking the right questions. Without the right questions, the answer you get, doesn't matter how good it is, it's not the answer you're going to want.
Exactly. Very much so.
But I mean, I actually think what we covered is something like lean greens that not many people will cover.
Well, yeah, no, you know, not many like, people talk.
We could go into the mass market and talk about landing pages and shit like that, but why should we? Why not just do it?
My initial idea of talking about a spatula, I think I would struggle because there's far too many people selling plastic spatulas on Amazon. Really, there's no way of differentiation unless you create a carbon fiber handled, you know, with you know, brass engravings or whatever. I don't know, and that's really dull. I don't want to play that game.
Which is why I played into your strength, mate.
Thank you very much.
That's Cheers, why mate. We make such a good team. I know what you're good at, even if you don't. So basically, let's sort of sum this one up. Okay, your angles and your USP is basically something that will differentiate you from the whole rest of the market.
But most importantly, this is about the people that you're trying to reach, not necessarily a thing that you're selling. The thing that you're selling is not necessarily the most important thing in the world. It's who you're selling it to and what problem can you solve for them. Yeah. That's really, you know, and find that unique angle, like we talked about with the cyclist. Yeah. It's like one thing that might be seen as a detrimental thing for one group is seen as an absolute positive for another group.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that about wraps that one up.
Cool.
I like that. Thanks for that question, Danny.
That was a good question. It actually has made me think a little bit more, which is good. I always like that.
We can always learn stuff, can't we?
Yep, absolutely.
Never stop learning. Right. Thank you very much, guys. Have a great week, evening, night, day, weekend, whatever, whenever you listen to this. See you later. Bye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Escape Plan Podcast. For show notes and resources, head over to escapeplanuncut.com.